Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear friends, C.S. Lewis once famously wrote these words. He said there are two opposite but equal errors when it comes to evil and the way people look at the concept of evil. C.S. Lewis then wrote, one error, one extreme is just dismissing it as if it doesn't exist, that there's no evil, there's no such thing as evil. The other error that Christians and even non-Christians alike can make is to believe in evil, or recognize that it exists, but to take it to such an intense level that you're overwhelmed by it. That makes sense. There are people that, Christians even, that dismiss evil. It's not really that big of a deal. There are no right or wrongs. Everything's absolute. The devil, oh, Satan, that's just that person that sits on shoulders with a pitchfork and comic strips, that sort of thing. Maybe you fall into that camp. Evil, not a big deal. I don't really want to pay attention to it. It's just kind of a fake thing. And there are some other people that are on the other side of the fence that become so obsessed with evil that they look for it in every single place and even look for it when they wake up in the morning. They see the news and see that a war has broken out or there's been missiles sent in the Middle East and they intensely look at it. Or they read the crime statistics and think that evil is coming and gripping the world. Or they just look at the news in general and they think that evil is happening. They wake up in the morning and evil must be coming today. And maybe you fall into that camp. I don't know. But how do you view evil in your life? You dismiss it? Not that big of a deal. Are you obsessed with it? Evil's coming. There's so much bad news, it's understandable why a lot of people are over here in this camp. Christians, but I wish the whole world understood this concept. Christians are in the middle. They walk at a beautiful point of equilibrium. Not dismissing evil, but also not being obsessed with it. Thinking that it will overwhelm their lives. How do we do that? We recognize that evil exists. That keeps us from dismissing it. But we also look to a good shepherd, which keeps us from being obsessed with the evil in the world and how it's overcoming things. We look to a good shepherd. I've been told that when the government officials are training people to sniff out counterfeit money, that they don't make people really look at counterfeit money to figure out what counterfeit money is. That's what you'd think, that's how people would be trained, to look at a fake $50 bill, then they could sniff it out. Or if they could make a machine that could set aside all the fake bills. No, you know how they recognize fake counterfeit money? They train people to look at the real thing, to study every aspect of a $50 bill, the serial numbers, the color, the coding, the numbers. And a person, by looking at the real thing, then can sniff out what is fake. I'm going to suggest that's the Bible's teaching on evil. The Bible certainly and the scriptures reveal that evil exists. But rather than focusing on evil and explaining it or talking about where it comes from or what are the motivations of Satan, there's some talk in the Bible. Actually, the Bible doesn't say where Satan comes from. It's not exactly clear. But what the encouragement of the scriptures is to look, to recognize evil, but to look at the real thing, the good shepherd. Do you have a picture like this? Do you have a picture of the good shepherd? Let's take a look at the good shepherd. You know the psalm really well. The psalm is Psalm 23, because when we're overwhelmed with what it means to have a good shepherd, peace automatic in our lives. We're not overwhelmed with evil. Here are some aspects of Psalm 23. I want to do an expository here. Take you through the text to show you what it means to have a good shepherd. Verse 1. He leads me to what? Green pasture. We lie down by green pasture. The good shepherd cares for you. In the first century, there were certain practices that Middle Eastern shepherds did. This is a background to this text, Psalm 23, that we've heard so familiarly. We've sung, but we actually don't realize the depth of these words by David. In the first century, Middle Eastern shepherds had the same practice every day. They would wake their sheep up, get them moving, and they would go out to pasture at 4 a.m. They would eat grass all the way to 10 a.m., and then they would nap for about 3 or 4 hours. That sounds like a schedule I want to live right there. Sign me up.